We need to be able to reach out to somebody, ask a question, and feel like we're in a safe place. Like when I was asking those questions, that's what I would get. You're so young. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about that. Oh, you're fine. You're probably fine. Like I used to get missed periods all the time. Mm-hmm. Miscarriages happen all the time. It's totally normal. You're considered a geriatric pregnancy. Mm-hmm. So it happens.
But that's the thing with women's health. It's like, oh, no big deal. It's just something women go through. You know, I mean, I wonder how many women out there have these symptoms, but are just kind of like used to ignoring it, like having a bad period.
Yeah.
That's something not to ignore.
Right.
You shouldn't be having a bad period.
Hello, friends. I'm Rosie Acosta, author, mindfulness teacher, and wellness coach.
And I'm Tessa Tovar, producer, co-host, and your partner in Real Talk for all things wellness and beyond.
Welcome to the Radically Well podcast. This is a space where we break down the messy, transformative moments that make us who we are, because wellness isn't about perfection. It's about embracing the journey.
Every week, we'll tackle the topics no one talks about, but everyone needs to hear, like navigating hormones, aging, relationships, sex, and self-care.
You'll hear unfiltered stories, expert advice, and real, relatable conversations that empower you to reset your mindset, reimagine your health, and show up as your most authentic self. Whether you're here to learn, laugh, or maybe cry a little, this is your space to feel seen, supported, and inspired to live radically well.
So grab your favorite tea or, hey, maybe a glass of wine, and let's dive in.
Let's get radically well. Welcome to the Radically Well podcast. I'm Rosie.
I'm Tessa. And we're here to talk about friendships and self-care.
We want to talk about self-care as your hormone besties.
Because we are your hormone besties.
We are your hormone besties.
Yes.
We are here to support you. We're here for you. We're creating this whole thing just for you.
Yeah.
Just so that you don't feel alone. And I think having this conversation, Tess and I, we were trying to come up with a topic for today. And we thought, why don't we talk about community building? We talk about friendships. We've talked about relationships in the past, but let's talk about the importance of relationships and community when you are in the process of perimenopause and menopause.
It is like my lifeblood right now.
Let's talk about it.
Can I read this statistic?
Oh my God, please.
Okay.
We love statistic.
Oh, I love a good data point. Research shows that close friendships can increase lifespan by 50%, highlighting the importance of connection.
Yeah, this is true. 50%. Well, in our former podcast adventure on the Radically Loved podcast, we had the prolific Charles Duhigg on the show.
Yes. Oh,
remember he talked about his books,
Super Communicators.
Yeah. And it was in that conversation that, I don't know if we actually recorded it and it was on the show, but we talked about the importance of community and how we thrive in community. There's actually this study that somebody was telling me about, and I can't quite quote it, so I apologize. I don't want to give people fake facts, but it sounded to me like it made sense. It's essentially this idea of communal healing. Mm-hmm. Like you're able to borrow somebody else's essentially nervous system, for lack of a better explanation, to help you feel better, right? So so this whole creation of tribe makes sense. To be able to heal in tribes, it takes a village, you know, that whole experience. Statistically, we do live longer when we are in community rather than, you know, as opposed to being in isolation, you tend to live a shorter life. All of those things, I think, really come into play when you are going through a hormonal train wreck. What do we call it? I keep trying to find different severe and intense ways of describing
tidal wave.
Right. Something that is just so fucking intense and so uprooting. Mm-hmm. I was talking to somebody about this, and she is somebody I just recently met. And we're having this conversation about the show. And she was like, what do you know, I see that you're doing something different with the show. And I started to tell her, you know, like what we're doing, the experience that we've been having this season. And she says, well, it really sounds like you're catastrophizing perimenopause and menopause. And I'm like, oh, interesting. Interesting you say that as a 31-year-old.
Okay.
So yeah. I was like, okay, catastrophizing. Mm-hmm. Are we catastrophizing this experience?
Okay, this is an interesting perspective from one that hasn't gone through it yet. I'm just going to say that first.
No shame. We're not trying to shame people. We're not trying to shame young people. But let me tell you something. Just wait. Fucking wait.
I mean, I think I've said this before when we were talking about relationships and how to communicate with your partner about what you're going through. It's a hard thing to describe. If you haven't been there and felt it, it might sound dramatic to somebody who hasn't lived it before, right?
Yeah.
So I can see why that might be her initial reaction.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd say just fucking wait.
You know what?
You get there.
I'm going to actually, let's look at the definition for catastrophe, shall we?
Okay.
Let's do this.
Let's do it.
Because catastrophizing. Oh, actually, okay. Let's see. Catastrophizing, also known as catastrophic thinking, is a cognitive distortion that involves assuming the worst case scenario is the most likely outcome. It can lead to a number of negative consequences, including anxiety, PTSD, pain, decreased quality of life, increased healthcare use, early death.
Okay, so then I don't agree with that definition because I don't believe we're catastrophizing it. First of all, I don't think it's a cognitive distortion. I think we're having honest, direct, open conversations about what we're experiencing. My hope is that you don't leave these conversations terrified of having to go through menopause, but that unlike so many women that came before us, you have a toolbox to go through it and you don't feel like you're alone in it.
Yeah. And you don't feel like you're going crazy. I think that's the sort of process here because, you know what? Like, if you want to take this and these conversations as us catastrophizing something that 100% of women will go through, fine, have at it. You know, like some people
come talk to me when you go through
it. It's like, here's the thing. It's the whole bypassing of, this is also somebody that's in the spiritual community. So it's like, there's a little bit of that sort of, you know, are you doing the herbs? Are you taking the herbs? Are you doing the prayers and the mantras?
It's like the equivalent of my husband telling me, did you take your HRT this morning?
Yeah, exactly.
Is that why you're having that outsized reaction? Yeah.
No shade, but shade also. The point here is that we do have these big feelings that happen. Mm-hmm. And if I have a toothache and it hurts, and I'm telling you that it hurts, you don't actually know my level of pain tolerance. Mm-hmm. What might be, for on a scale from 1 to 10, a 7 for me might be a 2 for you. Maybe it's a 10 for you, right? We don't know people's barometers,
right?
Especially when it comes to emotional struggles.
It's subjective.
It totally is. And I think that because of that, for me, I feel obviously very passionate. I know what it's like to go through it. And I always want to validate every single woman out there who is going through this. Yes. And again, I'm not a doctor. I feel like my sort of zone of genius or my zone of expertise, if you will, is utilizing the tools of mindfulness and meditation and life experience to help in supporting women's processes through this journey. Mm-hmm. Because it is a journey and it's temporary. It doesn't last forever. And I feel like for me, in that moment, you know, we talked about it before. I don't remember what episode it was, but when I looked up the definition for hysterical.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
that whole type of sentiment, these words of, oh, you're catastrophizing it, or you're being hysterical, or you're overreacting. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, this is how I feel. My toothache is I feel like it's at a 10. So just because you can't feel my 10 doesn't mean it hurts any less.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And that's the whole point. And I think that that is one of the most important factors to weigh and to utilize when dealing with somebody, especially a woman that's going through this process. You don't know her pain tolerance. Mm-hmm. And it is painful to go through the grieving process of your life as you knew it. It is no longer going to be the same. Things are changing. And if you do the right things and if you go in the right direction, they will change for the better. And I'm here to tell you that because I'm living the experience, my friends. But in that process, like, there is a huge change that is happening. And we need to be able to support our peers and our community and our friends and our parents and our mothers and our daughters and our grandma. We need to support each other in a way that we can help uplift each other and see each of us's gauge. You might be a 3, Jess might be a 6, you know, like whatever it is, I want to acknowledge that. And I don't want, it's not a comparison.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't about like out tragedying each other
right.
or out sort of symptom, what is it? Like out symptoming. I'm about to make a fucking word here. Okay. We're going to drop this.
Out symptoming.
Out symptomizing. Like, can we make that a plural? Because there's many symptoms. Okay. But I don't, it's like, I would go to these speaking engagements, right? And people would be on stage, like tragedy after tragedy. I'm like, dude, this is like tragedy porn.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I understand what she was saying about the catastrophizing comment. I understood where she was saying, but at the same time, I wanted to say, like, maybe let's change our vernacular around it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, to her, my 10 might be a 3. Uh-huh. But it's irrelevant because the point is I'm in pain.
Yeah.
That's the fucking point.
Yeah.
Let's not miss the point. And I think that that's where the community aspect of it is key, because we don't want to shame each other. We don't want to out-symptom each other. Mm-hmm. I don't want to tell you that my experience was worse than yours because this or that. We're all having this experience. Mm-hmm. We're all going to go through it. And I think it's important for us to remove the taboo, remove the shame around it, remove the stigma of aging. Mm-hmm. Aging however the fuck we want to age, by the way, and aging in the way that we want to age and how we want to age. I think the best thing that we can do in order to achieve all of that is to just check in with your sisters and mothers and friends, partners, and ask them where they're at.
Yeah.
Create a barometer so that you understand each other.
Yeah. And be willing to listen when they give you an honest answer.
Yeah. Listen without judgment.
Catastrophizing something's a bit, when I hear that, it's a bit pejorative. And it's not coming from a place of, let me witness what it is that you're saying. Let me create a space for you to share what it is. And yeah. that's when I think about friendships, women friendships, the ones that I'm in need of right now and cultivating right now, it's this kind of thing where yeah. we listen to each other and we validate each other's experience. And there is no competition, right?
Yeah.
It's like, hey, I know you're going through that thing and I was there before you. Here's something I tried that helped. If you're interested in that, I'm happy to share the resource with you. And sometimes it's just a matter of letting them talk. Like, you don't always have to respond.
Yeah, you don't have to give the answers to anything.
Yeah.
So, what has been the best piece of advice that you've had from a friend or, you know, somebody in this process?
The best piece of advice was what I got from you, which was to go get my hormones checked. And when I responded with, my doctor won't take my blood test, she won't do a hormone test, it was like I had to say that out loud to realize how ridiculous that was. And I kept going back to the same doctor and getting the same result and realized I needed to go see somebody else, yeah, which is what I did. And that was, I mean, that's what started me on HRT. And that's really what, for me, started this journey of recognizing and realizing that I was in perimenopause, because I had the data to yeah, see, oh, my estrogen's falling, my progesterone's yeah, low. And then I realized that there were all these other things I could do about it, like testosterone and scream cream and
yeah,
have conversations like this where I felt like, oh, I'm not going crazy. This is just a phase in my life that I'm going through.
Yeah.
Because I honestly felt like I was going crazy.
Yeah.
And it's lonely. That is a lonely vacuum to be in.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I think that is one of the most heartbreaking experiences.
Yeah.
When you are going through intense hormonal fluctuations, it seems to me that the default state is always to go down, mm-hmm, downward spiral, depression.
And we blame ourselves.
Yes, the isolation. It is a lonely and dark place. I wouldn't wish on anybody. Mm-hmm. Like, I really wouldn't wish it on anybody. And the shame that comes with that, the feeling of I'm broken, something, I did something, did I not do something, did I do too much of this, did I do too little of that, we go on this spin of coulda, shoulda, woulda,
yeah,
what is happening, blaming everybody, blaming yourself. And I want to talk a little bit more about that bit of isolation, because for me, the isolation bit also happened, mm-hmm, and there was so much shame. Mm-hmm. Like, there was so yeah, much shame. And what I think hurt me the most was when I would say to other women that I was in perimenopause, or even when I was in menopause or postmenopausal now, and they would be like, but you're so young. Hmm. But you're so young. Are you sure?
Yeah.
Ooh. Are you sure? Did you try the herbs? Mm-hmm. Did you try cutting sugar out? Mm-hmm. Did you eat enough meat? Did you get enough sleep? And it's like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, you know, I live a healthy lifestyle. Everything I do is for longevity. Mm-hmm. I really do honor and care for this vessel. Mm-hmm. I used to call it a meat sack. I don't call her that anymore.
Oh, you've always called it a temple.
Yeah.
She's your temple.
She is the temple.
Yeah.
And I feel like to be able to go into that place of the darkness, you know, I don't, and there's no shame about going into that dark place. And there's no shame for my friends out there who are also on antidepressants, who are just trying to navigate this, because yeah, I feel like going back to the things that they would say to me, like, oh, you're so young. Did you try this? Did you try that? You're so young. And I'm like, but it happens. Mm-hmm. Statistically, it happens. And statistically, it's happening more and more. Mm-hmm. Whether it's environmental, I'm not going to go down the list, but whatever it may be, there's a long list of reasons why this may be happening. Mm-hmm. And I do believe a lot of it, for me, in sort of the research I've done, a lot of it has to do with environmental. You know, we're like, I'm not going to go down the sad hole of how the earth is being pillaged, but we've talked about it before. Yeah. But I really feel like, but even in saying that, when we go into this place of isolation or somebody triggers a thought or a feeling of self-blame, that's where it gets really lonely.
Mm-hmm.
Because we'll go into that hole, and what we need to do is the opposite. We need to be able to reach out to somebody, ask a question, and feel like we're in a safe place. Like when I was asking those questions, that's what I would get. You're so young. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about that. Oh, you're fine. You're probably fine. Like I used to get missed periods all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Miscarriages happen all the time. It's totally normal. You're considered a geriatric pregnancy. Mm-hmm. So it happens.
But that's the thing with women's health. It's like, oh, no big deal. It's just something women go through, you know? I mean, I wonder how many women out there have these symptoms, but are just kind of like used to ignoring it, like having a bad period.
Yeah.
That's something not to ignore.
Right.
You shouldn't be having a bad period. That's something to pay attention to and seek help for. So I wonder, you know, how many, even like outside of the statistics, how many of us are going through this and just think, this is just my lot in life. It's just something that is kind of unique to me and my experience, and I'm suffering because I just pulled a short straw or something. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
I feel like as women, we're kind of used to suffering.
Yeah, we are.
Quietly.
Mm-hmm.
No longer.
In silence.
By the way.
More.
Let's not do that anymore.
No. That's why I think it's important to just talk about it and not feel shame around it.
Yeah.
And not have people say things like, you're catastrophizing perimenopause. It's a fucking catastrophe, okay?
Yeah. It is. This is a storm.
It is not. It's like, it's not even a storm. It's a battle. We are literally in the Bhagavad Gita.
Oh.
We are on the hero's journey. I always thought that I went on this hero's journey, not that I'm calling myself a hero. I'm not trying to be self-indulgent, but I always thought going through, you know, what I went through as a kid growing up, you know, in a really crazy environment with drive-by shootings, and I've seen somebody get shot, I've seen somebody get stabbed, like really going through the gamut of trauma, which, by the way, I want to talk to somebody, an expert. I don't want to say who she is, but we are hoping to have her on the show to talk about the relationship between trauma and hormones.
Yes, please.
Because I feel like there's something there as well from what I've been learning the last year. But anyway, I really thought that was like, I did it. I navigated that. I went through PTSD. I did all the therapy. I did all the EMDR. I did all kinds of work around my trauma, you know? I did all these things. And I'm, like I said, I've said it before, I'm tough. Like, I know I'm a tough person. But man, like, this battle is one that I had never faced before.
Mm-hmm.
One that I'd never thought I would even be capable of fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Like looking back now again, when you're looking back, you're seeing all the signs like, oh, wow, I noticed this. Or damn, I was really, I even now I don't like to look back because I couldn't believe how deep in that dark hole I was.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, you know.
Yeah. I mean, but because of the things that you've shared with me, I feel like I have a leg up, you know? And I wish that somebody was there for you in that same way.
Me too. I raw dogged it, you know? Yeah. I was raw dogging that perimenopause journey.
Something I keep meaning to ask you, Rosie, is when you talk about it being temporary and, you know, you'll refer back to like 2020 and living in the old house. And I keep thinking, well, how long is a short period of time? Because I've heard of women going through perimenopause for like a decade.
Wow.
Are we talking about 10 years?
I am not an expert, but my experience.
Yeah.
I would say if I look back, really looking at the signs, the symptoms, when they started, I would say I started exhibiting symptoms at 30, as early as 34 or 35. Have I said that on the show before? I don't remember if I have or not.
I believe so.
Maybe. But maybe, oh, you know what? Maybe I did it on Lou on the Slay podcast.
Okay.
In my early, I would say as early as like 34, 35, mm-hmm. I started exhibiting perimenopause symptoms.
Yeah.
And then it was really difficult to gauge looking back because I was on a fertility journey. Mm-hmm. And so the symptoms were in a way kind of masked by this getting pregnant, pregnancy loss, getting pregnant, pregnancy loss, getting pregnant, pregnancy loss. So I went through that process three times. And in that, my hormones obviously were doing wonky things.
Yeah.
But I thought that that's all it was. I'm like, oh, it's just my, I'm getting kind of my body's readjusting. But it started right then. So 37, 38, I was like,
in it.
Where you are now.
Yeah.
Right. Just like in that space. And I would say for me, perimenopause, 38, 39, 40, 41. I don't know. I would say that I've only in the last year really been on the other side fully where it's been consistent and there's been no fluctuation. Mm-hmm. So I would say it lasted about 4 years. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, I could have gone on HRT before and not have had it be so long.
Yeah.
So being on HRT, from what I understand, really helps go through it. In fact, I know women now that we've had these conversations that have never even experienced it. They just went straight into HRT and were like, we're going to bypass this yeah. whole perimenopause, menopause debacle. We're just going to skip it and go straight into, and it's great. So they've never had the sort of, I almost feel, here's the thing, here's a controversial thing mm-hmm. that I will say. One of the things, one of the shame things that I had in my head or playing around in the back of my mind was, am I being punished for wanting to be healthy? Mm-hmm. Like, am I being punished for wanting to live a holistic life? Because
interesting.
I feel like since my journey started in my early 20s, I've been really observant, very conscious. I was a vegan for 7 yeah. years. I'm, you know, now I'm a McVegan. You know, I do eat meat now, but since this whole process, but I felt like my choices were really good. As much as I can, I eat clean organic foods, like very, very, I cook. You know, I'm very sort of cognizant of everything. I fucking taught yoga for like ever. You know, I teach meditation for a living. It's my job. I'm a writer. Like all of those things don't really lend themselves to somebody who's like high stress, eating processed foods, like
yeah.
drinking every day, going hard, doing the occasional 8-ball of cocaine, like, you know, Monster energy drinks, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, I would feel like two things were happening. There was this sense that I was being punished. Hmm. Well, obviously that's the Catholic conditioning. I was raised Catholic. I always say I'm a recovering Catholic, but there's that sort of, well, and the other thing is, well, I don't want to get to the fertility rabbit hole because we'll be here for fucking an hour. But so having that predisposition to Catholic guilt, for some reason that kept replaying in my mind that perhaps somewhere, somehow I broke something.
Mm. Like you were too stringent
like
on
I
yourself?
I was too healthy.
Mm. Interesting.
Too rigid. Like yeah. too rigid to the point where it caused stress.
Okay. Yeah, I see.
Does that make sense?
It does.
And whether that's true or not, there's no knowing that. But it was a thought in my mind. Like mm-hmm. then there was the anger. Then there's that.
Yeah.
I'm angry at God, the divine, Buddha, Krishna, whoever, you know, like
yeah.
whatever being the divine. I was angry because I felt like I had worked so hard the better part of my adult life to be healthy and not for aesthetics or anything like that, just because I wanted to be healthy, because I wanted to care for her. This temple, I wanted to honor her. I wanted to give her the care that she did not have the first 15 years of her life. So again, could things have been worse had I lived that other life, the life of going hard, hard living? Maybe I wouldn't be here. You know, maybe this was exactly the route that I needed to take, and there is no knowing. But it leads me back to this conversation of acceptance, letting go of the shame, allowing yourself to say the things, allowing yourself to be sad, allowing yourself to grieve that things are changing and that the life as you knew it is no longer present. And that's okay.
Yeah.
And it really is okay. And to really allow yourself to have a vision of an even better, like an even better existence.
Yeah. That's so, I admire that so much in you, and I look forward to it too. I mean, sitting here next to you, listening to you talk, watching you go through it, because I was watching you go through that.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to remember what the moment was, but it, to me, and I'm sure it felt different to you, but it seemed like there was this marked difference between perimenopause and then all of a sudden it was like, oh, I'm through it. I'm through the tunnel. I came out on the other side. And I don't know if you can pinpoint that moment for you, but it seemed almost like this stark thing that suddenly happened.
Yeah.
Which is easy to say when you're on the outside looking in at somebody, you know?
Yeah. And I don't actually know that there, I mean, did you see when it happened?
Well, I mean, because we would talk like weekly and I don't see you daily, but it felt fairly recent, maybe a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
This calendar, like 2024,
well,
I would say.
We're in 2025,
but you know.
This is different days. We're in 2025. We're in the future. Actually, no, we're not. But yeah. yes, what you're saying.
You know what I mean. It's recent. And so I guess I just, I admire that. I admire that. And I keep thinking, when I listen to you talk about that, I keep thinking, okay, well, if I were going to imagine that future, it gets better. Rosie keeps saying it gets better. What does that look like for me? What do I want it to look like? What do I hope for in this future? And sometimes, you know, it's like, okay, well, how do I embrace the gray hairs and the wrinkles and the eyesight starting to diminish. And you posted something on Instagram a couple of weeks ago. It was hilarious. It's like when you're driving in the dark at night and the music's too loud, somehow turning the music down like allows you to see better. Totally. Like,
it does. It works.
These things are happening.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. It's the same kind of like cognitive switch that you do, at least this is what I've been playing with, the gray hair, for example, looking in the mirror and going, yeah, I could dye it. And I think there's something beautiful about like adorning ourselves with makeup and dyeing hair and blending the grays. I could do that. And there's no shame in that. I love it when people, you know, adorn themselves in the way that they want to. And I'm also wondering, can I look at the grays and go, oh, it's sparkly, it's pretty. I like seeing that, like this streak right here. Or I'll look at somebody like my mom who has this beautiful white flowy hair and she just looks like this wizard witch. I don't know. She's just like has this beautiful white hair and those are the kind of things that it's coming.
Yeah.
How do I embrace them?
Yeah.
Instead of trying to cover them up or erase them.
Yeah. Do you want to do an exercise?
Yeah.
And people here can do it too. You said something so beautiful just now. You said, can I envision, like, what does that even look like being, let's say, on the other side of the tunnel? That's what I heard you say.
Yes.
Did I get that right?
You did.
Okay, great.
Good super communication. What is that? Looping for understanding.
Oh, here we go. We're getting technical. So I want you to just think right now you're in this experience. So these feelings are very real and they're very present and they're very tactile. Mm-hmm. In your mind, there is no going back, right? We don't want to go backwards. I wouldn't fucking, if you paid me, I would never go back. Are you fucking kidding me? Especially the way I feel right now, the way I feel in my body right now, the way I feel in my mind, the way that I'm connected to the divine and I just feel so blessed. I would not change this for going backwards. I don't give a fuck if I have less wrinkles, whatever, all the fucking things. No way. This is where it's at. So in me saying that, is it possible for you to see a Tessa 2.0?
It's like I have this, you know how people talk about like, oh, I have a felt experience. When we're talking about meditation, see it, feel it, or sense it. Mm-hmm. It's not something I can envision, but it's something I feel like I can sense.
Yeah. Okay. What does the sense feel like?
It's like yummy and rich and calm and peaceful and warm and embodied, very confident.
Yes.
And unapologetic, unapologetically so.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that's what women are talking about when it's like, yeah, I entered my 50th decade and I don't give a fuck and it's amazing.
Yeah. So right now what you just did, and I want to describe it for the people that aren't watching the video. If you're watching the video, you can see exactly what I'm about to describe. But she just sunk in her chair and she said, like, grounded and calm. And like, she just went in. She felt that settling sensation of fucking grounding, like ground, right? That's like root chakra, very, very, very grounded into the earth. There's a rooted system that holds us together. It is our foundation. And then when you start to say, then I feel confident and empowered, and all of a sudden you sat up and you just, so the fact that the sense is there is the key insight that you need, especially for those of you out there watching this or listening to this that are going through it. There is either a vision, you're seeing it, you're feeling it, you're sensing it. There is a part of you that is completely unhindered and whole. So when we look at it from the yogic perspective, it's, you know, if we're talking about the energetic chakra system, right? Without getting too into the weeds of that, there's this unstruckness within us, right? How we relate to our internal environment is key. So even you having that sense, like, oh, I can't feel it, I can't see it, or I'm going through a dark period, there is a part of you that is there. Mm-hmm. You are on the other side of the tunnel. In fact, the tunnel's not even a real thing. It is a construct, and it is a description of fleeting small moments of symptoms. So what we're doing is we're pulling back from a single pointed focus of focusing on just the things that are going wrong. I have this symptom, this hot flashes, brain fog, anthralgia. I have this, I have that, vaginal dryness, my libido, my moods, We are hyper-focused. It's the laser, right? We've talked about this in yoga before. Mm-hmm. It's like if you're teaching a yoga class, right? You give somebody a direction and you say, look at your right toe. Now look at it. Really look at it. All of a sudden, you're hyper-focused. Like those of you listening, just find something to look at. Whatever's in your room, whatever it is, whether it's a phone, a book, a computer, if you're driving, be safe, but look at something. And I want you to pretend like your eyes are a laser beam and focus on it. Notice how instinctually you stop breathing. Now take a deep breath and a long exhale. And now pull out broaden the aperture and now see the entire environment. See the whole. Notice how that changes in your body. All of a sudden, there is a release. There's that grounding that your body just did innately. Where does that come from? It doesn't matter where it came from. It's there, right? That deep sense of broaden the aperture, settle into the space, buckle in. We're going for a ride. But at the end of the day, like, you have that deep sense of connection, of groundedness, of perspective. Now, it's easy for me to say that. Again, I'm on the other side. But I'm not really on the other side, because there is no tunnel. There is no spoon, right? Like, there is no tunnel. There is just a focal point on the sense. If we are hyper-focused on the ups and downs that we have no control over, the symptoms, we're not going to be able to really pull back and allow ourselves to get into that state of release, observing, grounded, aware, transient. It's a practice.
Oh, it is. Yeah. Yeah. So good.
I mean, it's just like quiet now. Okay, I guess we should end. So,
takeaways, key takeaways.
So here's what I will say. I feel like I've been talking a lot today. I think that for those of you out there who are struggling and going through it, I would invite you to reach out to somebody who's been through it, whether it's your mom, your grandmother, a sister, a friend, a coworker, somebody who has gone through it or is in it right now. Build a network. Give yourself moments of peace. Allow yourself to feel what you're feeling. You're not broken. Everything you need is right here, right now, in this perfect moment. And remember that you're not alone. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you don't feel like you have that person in mind, like, maybe your interpersonal relationships right now, or I don't know, at a crossroads, or there isn't that one person that you can think of, there's other ways to build that community, finding a new community. I mean, you could join like a new group exercise class, or there's like my local community college has some really cool, I think they're called adult learning classes, but it's like, you've always wanted to learn how to play guitar. Go sign up for this. They're like $50. You know what I mean? The adult learning community classes are really affordable typically. Or just go sit at a coffee shop and like be among your fellow human beings. And maybe just observe two people talking that look like they really care about each other. I mean, by osmosis, you'll get some of that. You'll get some of that goodness back. You know?
Yeah.
So let's remember we're not alone.
Yes, we're not alone.
I know it feels like that sometimes, but it's actually not true.
Yeah, it's actually not a fact.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you. Thank you all for joining us on this episode of the Radically Well podcast. I've been wanting to say this. I hope this episode finds you radically well.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
From your radically well hormone besties.
Yes. I love this. Thank you all so much for being here, for listening. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. And if you are watching this on YouTube, please subscribe to our channel and leave us a comment. Send us your suggestions or questions. We so look forward to connecting with you. And we hope to see you back really soon. Hey everyone, thanks for listening to the Radically Well podcast. This podcast is produced by Rosie Acosta and Tessa Tovar. Production by Sephirus Media. Music by Monogram Sound. please remember to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you so much for listening.